Hi, it's Kalia,
IGC coach training grad and six-figure certified coach. I know you're here listening to these incredible stories of successful coaches and wondering, when will it be my turn? I'm sure you entered this year with the goal of finally stepping into your purpose. And there is no better way than enrolling in IGC's internationally accredited coach training program. Enrollment is open now, and it is your turn. So take the first step by going to innerglowcircle.com/call right now and book a free call with me. Your six-figure certified story starts today.
It's time to pick up the phone. Answer that call. This call is your calling, and you can't hide from it or ignore it.
That passion you have to help people and make a difference isn't going anywhere. You deserve to get paid and paid well doing work you love and changing lives.
Everything in your life has led you here, and now we're here to help you figure out how to make your destiny your reality.
Welcome to Six Figure Certified Coach, the podcast hosted by Inner Glow Circle.
IGC is an internationally accredited life coaching school created to take your existing professional skills paired with your life experience and turn it into a six-figure coaching business.
We've trained thousands of successful coaches, and now it's your turn.
Let's get focused, get real, and get you six-figure certified.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Six Figure Certified Coach, the podcast. I am Olivia Chapman, and I'm joined by Katie DePaula Silverman. I didn't stutter your last name this time. Welcome back.
Hi, everyone.
So we're talking about... I love batch recording days. I'm like, where are we?
Right, exactly.
We're talking about money rich versus time rich today. What we're really talking about is excuses and resources. Which one are we choosing? How do we ultimately feel like we have more than enough instead of feeling like we don't have enough of anything?
Yeah, I love that. The inspiration for this really comes from our conversations with clients and students and prospective students over the years saying, like, I don't have the money, right?
Yeah.
And so often we lean on that excuse. You and I have done that as well. Hopefully by now we've got this concept that we're going to teach today baked in enough. But we, you know, often we hear people say, like, I can't because of the money. I can't afford it, right? And affording is so many more things than just money. Right. Sometimes we can afford it financially, but maybe we can't afford it in terms of our time or in terms of our energy or things like that. And so today we really want to encourage you to look at your resources in a completely new way.
Yes. And I'm thinking as you say that, so I posted in the circle. So the circle is our professional development community of all of our students and graduates and people who have taken our courses, and you can go to open coaching calls and there's great discussion and collaboration, blah, blah, blah. But I posted in there the other day and I said, what excuses are you leaving behind in 2022? And I put mine as I don't have enough time. Like, I'm leaving that excuse behind, right? Because I actually went through this whole time audit that I did on myself a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I kind of did it for myself, but I really did it for, like, my boyfriend, because he's always like, I don't have time. And I'm like, that's bullshit. So I had to, like, prove that there was so much extra time left. And then I was like, wow. Wake up call for myself too. But one of the funny things I noticed was a lot of people who, you know, before the excuse was, I don't have enough money. And then you get the money and then you're like, I don't have enough time. Right. And so I think the bottom line is we always can choose to get in our own way. I know I have said before, like, I make my kids my reason and not my excuse. And I think we have to look at all of the things that get in the way and reframe them into, you know, a reason, or reframe our resources so that we can actually see how much abundance we have. And that's not even just a mindset spiritual thing. It's also a logistic thing, right? I do think that we often have more than we realize, whether it's time, money, or whatever other resources, and we're going to get into those.
Yeah. I love when you say that about your kids. And I also think we could fill in the blank here with resources and, you know, take on this mantra of I make my resources a reason, not an excuse. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, like, what we're all looking to do is increase our resources. We want to be more well-resourced, right? And so for me, how I define that is resourced is being full, but not overflowing to the point where I also don't know where everything's going, right? Yeah. It means I know what's coming in and I know what's coming out. It's not just spilling over without me having an awareness. It's channeled and I know where I'm inputting and I know where I'm receiving. It's really like managing the give and receive of life.
Well, that's why you were saying that you love doing payroll now, because you're like, I can see all the money in, I can see all the money out. And that's very like tangible, obvious example of this. But you have to look at, you know, you, not you, Katie, but you, me, everyone listening to this, like, you know, those excuses, whether you verbalize them or think them, right? Like, oh, I'm too tired. Oh, I don't have enough time. Oh, the kids are in the way. Oh, if I only had a boyfriend or a husband or a wife or a partner, I could make this happen, right? Instead of like reframing it and saying, what do I have an abundance of? Or more of an abundance of that's coming into my life, and how can I maximize this? How do I maximize what I do have in my life?
Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, where is my overflow? So let's say that your overflow is with time. That also doesn't feel good. Like, it doesn't really feel good to have too much time on your hands, right? Like, we have too much time on our hands. I'm talking about an excess, not like an hour here and there, but like a truly an excess. Like, I have no idea what to do with my days. I have no idea what to do with my weeks. That doesn't feel good either, because we're not investing anything and then getting a return. My belief is that, you know, we can use one resource, and I think we'll talk about my MELTS model at some point in this episode, but we can use one resource to create another. So whether that's using time to create money, using time to create energy, using energy to create time, using energy to create money, there's others too. But, you know, knowing that we have some level of control of our resources.
Yeah. And you didn't say this one, but also like using money to create time. That's a big one.
Yeah.
That I feel like I'm navigating and re-navigating again and again.
And sometimes it's like time and energy, right? Like, I, like, with where I am in my life right now, just getting married over the past year, like, and I feel like I'm always saying this to you, like, in some ways it's brought resources into my life. Mm-hmm. In other ways, I have more output, right? And so for me, like, I'm constantly in conversation with Adam about, like, I need your support here. Like, I need you to contribute to this. We haven't even stepped into the kids' arena of life, which is, you know, so much of your life and your world. And same kind of thing. Like, you know, obviously, I think the return that you get from having children is an abundance of love. And we'll talk about how that fits into the MELTS model. Like, I do believe that love is a resource.
Hell yeah.
But they're taking a lot of your time. They're taking a lot of your money and they're taking a lot of your resource, a lot of your energy.
Yeah.
So it's like, if resources, and also it's not like a perfect math equation, right? Because like, no one would have kids if you were just looking at the math of it.
No
one would have a husband if you were just looking at the math, unless, I mean,
right, no one would probably have a wife either if you were looking at the math.
Yeah. Like, even if you're in the kind of like, you know, ancient marriage where it's like, he makes all the money and he makes so much money and, you know, you contribute to the family and household in other ways, I still don't know if that's an even exchange. I don't think money is enough, right? Right. You know, kind of go toe-to-toe on this, but.
Oh God, big conversation about this morning, actually. Just like, is money enough, like in a relationship? I don't think so. I mean, I've broken up with a lot of rich guys.
You got to bring more to the table. Also, like, you and I know how to make our own money. So, like, if you're going to be an a-hole but bring money to the table, I don't care. I don't need that. It's, like, too taxing.
Well, and that's where I'm like, I'd rather just shift my energy that I'm putting into this relationship into, like, my own ideas or money-making things that, you know what I mean? Have you ever been in a relationship that is just so draining? You're like, if I wasn't worried about this person or worried about this relationship or distracted by it, and I could take all of that energy that it was sucking out of me and move it into something that was actually moving me or like inspiring me or fulfilling me. I mean, I've done this before, like literally been like, if you're listening to this, you can't see my hand
moving. Yes, I have.
Katie shows the book. Yeah. So watch this on YouTube if you want to see the animated version, but
that's perfect. We always have to say that, like, go on YouTube to see the animated.
Yeah. Version. Just see our facial expressions as we're talking about things or like our, I feel like we both are talking with our hands a lot, but it's like, I'm like going like this and like pulling back my energy and then it's all inside of me. And I'm like, oh my God, now I can put it into something else, like, and watch it grow. And it's like such a, you know, when I've gone through breakups before, and this is not about breakups and relationships, but they're just such obvious examples of this often. And I spoke with someone about this the other day. She's like, when I left him, she's like, I was sad, but I felt like I took a deep breath for the first time ever. I felt like I had gained so much headspace. And it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship, be a friend that's draining you or a family member or, you know, whatever, or a job that's draining you. But like when you let that go and you then have all of this energy now.
That's because when you're in a super toxic relationship, which you and I both have multiple times, unfortunately, and we've lived to talk about it, but your boundaries become so porous.
Ugh, I know.
So you don't have like strong boundaries anymore. And you know, I still like have to work with that. Like, even though I have a very healthy marriage, there are times where the dynamic is not healthy because mm-hmm. my boundary is porous and he's in whatever place he's in, you know? And so I think like for me, understanding resources, meaning my own resources, right? And then like, you know, there's different ways to look at this. Like if you're in a partnership, that like a relationship, you may have shared resources with that person, right?
Yeah.
We don't have time for this.
Yeah.
We don't have the money for this. Meaning like we're choosing not to put our time or our money or energy in that place, right? The same thing with business. Like you and I over the years have been like, we don't have time for this. We don't have the resources for this. Meaning this is not where we're going to choose to put our energy. Let's say, you know, a team member became really difficult to deal with, or let's say there's a contractor that we're paying a lot of money to, but they're not delivering and they're not delivering on time. Like yep. everything is a constant weighing of, does this make sense?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Liv, people are always coming to me asking how to make six figures as a life coach. And I'm like, what? Like it's hard?
It's easy if you just go to class. To get our free class on how to make six figures in your coaching business, all you need to do is text the words six figures to 813-212-8869.
Again, text six figures to 813-212-8869 to get our free class on how to make six figures as a life coach today.
Now let's get back to the episode. Yeah, and here's how, okay, so how do you decide if it makes sense? Like, this is a lofty answer, but it's also just the answer. You have to know what your values are. I think that's the only way to like know where to draw on your resources from and where to put your resources. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but how do you decide where to put your time, money, energy, love into? You have to know what your values are.
Yeah. Well, I found this exercise that I first wrote like almost 5 years ago. about Melts. So can we tell everyone what Melts is? Because I think it does help.
Yeah, Melts is first of all an acronym.
Okay, I was going to get there.
Oh, God.
Okay. Can I tell the people what it is? Yes, but first of all, it's an acronym. Okay, great. I was going to say that part.
I'm melting.
Okay, it's an acronym, but the acronym also has significance. So MELTS stands for Money, Energy, Love, Time, and Space. Money, Energy, Love, Time, and Space. Coincidentally, per LIV, it's also an acronym. However, comma, I think it's interesting that the word is actually MELTS, because when we don't have awareness around what resources we're playing with, they all kind of melt and mesh together. And we're kind of just like, I'm drained.
Yes.
I'm overwhelmed, you know? And then there's times in our lives where like the cups are overflowing and like we're great and things are good and we're just not thinking about it. Unless you're like me and Liv and you have a trauma response and you're like, when is the other shoe going to drop? Right?
Like, which, life is too good.
If you're a woman in this world, you know, I can't imagine you don't have that or an awareness around it. But the question one, like, so I believe in doing like an inventory around these things. You said, how do you know, right, where you stand with these things? And so I believe in taking an inventory of money, energy, love, time, and space. So over, you could look at like the past 30 days, like over the past 30 days, how have you spent your money or invested? How have you spent or invested your energy, your love, your time, your space? And then also look at where has the world, life, your partner, your business, your clients, where has it poured back into you? And so looking at not only what are you giving, what are you outputting, but what are you receiving and what are you inputting? And I'll just put a caveat here. Sometimes we block the receiving. We get in a mode where we're give, 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 and we know we're strapped and we know we're strained and we know we're exhausted, but actually like our receiving is broken or we put a wall up.
Yeah. Can you give us some examples?
Yeah. So, I'll go for output first. So money would be like, you know, I spent money over the past 30 days having fun. I spent money over the past 30 days shopping for holiday gifts for, you know, people's birthdays. I spent money on a trip with my husband. I spent money on a few things for myself while I was holiday shopping, right? So literally, like, what are you spending money on? And I would include maybe like, you know, food and gas and things that we kind of gloss over as expenses, but I'll get back to these and say why it's important to acknowledge them. Then you look at the input of money, right? So what money has come in? Well, you know, maybe you got a paycheck, maybe you got multiple paychecks, maybe you have investment money coming in, you know, maybe you're tracking, maybe you have a savings account that's got a really great interest rate and you're making money on your interest, right? Maybe you have a investment property. So look at where things are coming in. Once you do one category, you can start to kind of pull from that. So some of the things that I talked about as output for money end up being input in other places. So for example, I talked about, like, my husband and I went to New York for our anniversary for the weekend. It cost us money, right? Like, it was a big investment of money because we saw a show and we did a little shopping and we went to nice dinners and we stayed in a hotel and we took the train. But we got so much love and so much connection from that. And there were choices we made along the way, like to take the train, which money alone didn't really make financial sense because it was a last minute trip, but we decided to work on the train and we decided that it would give us more energy for the trip. So then it did make sense financially. So this, I think that's like a pretty good high level example. And then I would work through each one of those categories and you'll start to see where they support each other.
Mm-hmm. What about the person listening to this who's like, I don't have any time or I don't have any money coming in, right? Like, how do we start to kind of renegotiate or recalibrate those resources?
Yeah, I think practical renegotiating. Ways. What?
Like practical ways.
I think renegotiating is a great word because to me it says like this isn't permanent, right? And so if you don't feel like you have an excess of, if you don't have an excess of money or you don't have any money coming in right now, the first thing to know is like that's not going to be forever. It's not your permanent state. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe there's an awareness of wanting that to change. And then I would look at, you know, look at the other categories, look at energy, look at love, look at time. Maybe you're out with time too. Look at space. If you say, I don't have time and I don't have money, then I would look at the other remaining three categories and say, well, what do you have? And then how can you utilize those things to start to compensate and bring those extra things in? Maybe the first thing you start to focus on is creating more time. Let's say you have a lot of love in your life. You have people around you who, you know, you could easily ask to watch your kids or to come over and help, you know, clean up the house or help you wrap gifts or help you with anything, right? Then as you free up some of your time, you can start to think about, okay, now that I have an excess of time, how can I use that time to create money? Whether that's starting a business, spending more time on the business you have, picking up extra hours at work, extra shifts. It's like a shuffling.
Do you think your purpose in life is to create invoices or remind your clients that they have more appointments to schedule? Not at all. You're a coach because you love creating transformation for your clients, and that's why you need to check out Paperbell. Paperbell powers your online coaching business, payments, appointments, contract signing, client management, and more. It's so simple to use and it'll give you so much relief and ease in your coaching practice. You just send your clients one link, and Paperbell does all of the admin and onboarding. Your client pays you, they sign the contract, they self-schedule their appointments, and you can even add an intake survey or deliver a welcome packet. Paperbell does it all. It's like having a VA that's there 24/7. And it's so quick and intuitive to set up, even if you're not tech savvy. Paperbell is a one-stop shop that does all of the boring admin stuff so you don't have to. Get started with a free account at paperbell.com/podcast.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in this place right now where I am really interested in maximizing the time that I have discovered I had. So I mentioned earlier that I did this like 2-week time audit. I didn't do it perfectly, but I don't do anything perfectly. So I probably nailed it for about 80% of the 2 weeks. But essentially what it has you do is like from the time you wake up until the time you go to bed, like track your time to the, I think the requirement was like to the 15-minute mark. I was probably more like the 30-minute mark. That but kind of working from like, so I get up at about, what?
I said that sounds accurate for you.
Yeah, I bend the rules, right? Or
yeah, but you've always been more committed to getting the thing done. I just think it's important because sometimes people won't do these exercises because it sounds so stringent, but you can modify.
I guarantee you do it for 3 days and you're going to see what you have, you know, same with like people do this with how much they spend every month. I mean, I looked at it and I was like disgusted with the amount of money I spend in certain categories. So, but it's the same with time. So I broke it down and I'm like, so my real goal inside of this exercise was to find more time to start pursuing like other investments, other activities, other things that I'm excited about. Like I have a lot of ideas. They don't always come to action because I don't have enough time. I'm doing air quotes if you're not watching the YouTube. So I was like, well, let me see. And I wake up around 6 a.m., right? Like how do I spend the first 30 minutes of my day? Hate to break it to y'all, but it's not with some beautiful morning routine and a green juice. It's like 90% of the time, like drinking coffee and scrolling social media. Like, that's a big time waste. Not the coffee part. So, but it's like really looking at those things. Go to bed around like 10 or 11. And if you do this for a few days or a couple weeks, like it says, you're really going to see like, okay, if I just saved this activity for later, if I just saved, you know, doing this, you know, or like really just schedule your time better, you can see how much time you actually have. Like, there was a couple days where there was probably 2 or 3 hours that I really had no idea what I was doing.
Like the time just passed. You were supposed to be tracking it and you don't really know.
Yeah, and I'm like, I remember clicking from tab to tab of my computer and thinking about things I should be doing. And there is a great, for me, I do feel like sometimes just kind of zoning out and thinking is really helpful for me and the company. Like, I do
have kind of. At the same time, like, okay, I'm interjecting here. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I think that what I'm hearing and what you're saying as well is like, like, okay, if you're like, I need like kind of zone out time. Well, maybe you can also go to the gym during your zone out time, or right. You can, you know, be on a walk. Or I also really believe in like coupling activities as much as you can, you know, yeah. Like I feel like I've been doing a little bit of an inventory of the year as well. And like, I did not like read very much this year. I like did not really like listen to audiobooks, like a few, but like nowhere near what I would normally do or what I would like to be doing, just because I'm invested in learning and growing. And I have so many books that I like download the samples on my Kindle or like download the sample audiobooks, but then like I just forget about it or yeah. Whatever. And it's like I forget what I was doing last night, but I think I was like cooking or something. And I'm like, I could totally be less. I was just listening to music, which is fine. There's yeah. No judgment there, but I have a choice to double up on activities in certain moments. I think that sometimes monotasking is, you know, the path to freedom and a clear head. However, if you're looking to find time, which is what that exercise was for, then you also have to optimize time.
That's the thing, really, is optimize. And I realized there was a lot of things that, especially for working from home, it's like, do a load of laundry, forget I did it, have to do it again.
I know.
Try it again. Then it sits on the thing. And I'm like, it would be better if I just Monday morning, like blocked off 2 hours in the morning. My kids always go to their dad's on Mondays, like even if it's only for a day or two, they go there on Monday mornings. And that's my, like, I find myself kind of working and then doing a household task and then working and then trying to work out. And it's like all over the place, but there's so much like transition time that I like lose the day. And I'm like, gosh, I should just like not work on Monday mornings, get everything cleaned up and done. And then I can actually focus at work and move a lot faster. Which is what I started yesterday, like literally yesterday, because I was like, I can't operate. Like, it's very hard for me to work from home if there's a football over here or a dirty cup over here, or I know there's crumbs on the floor somewhere. Like, maybe it's a little OCD, but like, so I'll sit down. Like, I would start like doing a workout video at home, and I would have my yoga mat.
I'm the same way.
I see a crumb, and I literally have a little mini vacuum that I keep next to the yoga mat, because I'm like, I have to vacuum this while I'm up. Like,
dude, I have full on moved furniture at home workouts. I can't even have a workout.
Right. And so then I'm like, God, this is taking much longer than I planned. And I know it sounds silly, and I know it's not the end of the world whether I pick up the little dust buster mid yoga. But for me, what I was realizing is that at the end of the day, I was like, shit, I didn't have enough time to like, I joined this mastermind recently. Well, it hasn't even started yet, but there's all this pre-work homework that I have to do. And I'm like, oh, shoot, I didn't have time to finish that. And it's like, you are lying to yourself. I am lying to myself.
Yeah.
So I think I got off a little bit on a tangent there, but I'm also thinking to myself often, okay, I need to create more time for myself. What else can I outsource? Then I look at the money, right? And it's like, what are you wasting money on right now, Olivia? Because some of it's a waste, truly. how could I put that money into creating more time for myself? Right? Like, it's an audit, it's a check-in, and it's things that often change. There's a lot of things that I used to spend a lot of money on, which I no longer feel like added value to my life. Remember when I had like a live in au pair for years? I needed that at the time. It added so much value to my life. Now the thought of someone living with me takes years off my life, truly.
Hi, it's Kalia, IGC coach training grad and six-figure certified coach. I know you're here listening to these incredible stories of successful coaches and wondering, when will it be my turn? I'm sure you entered this year with the goal of finally stepping into your purpose. And there is no better way than enrolling in IGC's internationally accredited coach training program. Enrollment is open now, and it is your turn. So take the first step by going to innerglowcircle.com/call right now and book a free call with me. Your six-figure certified story starts today.
So going back to the MELTS chart, I think a really great thing to do as you're like hearing me and Liv share these stories is to ask yourself, are you, in what categories are you in debt? And in what categories are you profitable? Ooh. Now, this does not have to be literal. Like, you may not actually have credit card debt to feel like you are financially in debt to yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And there might be times where you feel really abundant, even though your bank account doesn't match that, because you are making a lot of money and, you know, you're putting it back, you're outputting as well, but you know that you've got a good system in place, right? So a lot of this goes back to trust in ourselves,
yeah,
that we know how to manage our resources. And then the next question I would ask you is, what changes can you make to start turning a profit now?
That's a good one.
And then another thing to think about is, you know, these are great journal prompts, but what happens when you start to shift your relationship to each resource? So looking at, what is your relationship to money? What is your relationship to time? Meaning, if money were a person, how would you describe your relationship? You know, if time were a person, how would you describe...
The one that got away.
What? The one that got away, right? Maybe. But then the next step is, well, what kind of relationship do you want to have?
Yeah.
Adam, my husband, has a really weird relationship with time. We've never really like explored it, aka I've never forced him to explore it. However, he does this thing that I think is so freaking annoying, which is like, this is particularly on the weekends, because he goes to an office every single day. And so on the weekends, when there's an abundance of quote unquote free time, which is bullshit because like our lives are very busy and we have a lot of family here and a lot of demands. But in his mind, the weekend should be like an abundance of time and a free for all. If we make one wrong move or like try to do something and it doesn't work out, he has a fit about, we wasted so much time. Whereas like I'm at the mindset at this point in my life with all the things that have happened of like, if I spent an hour driving around with someone I love, I'm happy. Like, yeah. I don't care that we didn't like accomplish all the things. Like, I'll figure it out, you know? Yeah. But he has a really weird relationship with time. And it took me like a while to actually realize this, because when we were dating and even in the early like part, like the first few months we were married, I was just like so annoyed by it. Like, I like felt, I like took it personal. I'm like, oh, he like just doesn't want to be with me. He feels like it's a waste of time. He certainly has some kind of context around time where it has to be like, he's trying to constantly optimize to a point where it causes him so much stress.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people, like you might be this way or someone in your life might be this way, are that way around money. Like, it's like they spend money and then like, they're like, oh, that was such a waste. And they complain about it. And it's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, you spent the money, like just make more money. Like, that's what I'm like, just, we can always be creating time. And then you want to talk about scrolling. This is a personal venting session. You want to talk about scrolling. Oh my God. Adam is the freaking worst. We're going to have to edit this. He's the worst. He's always scrolling. So I'm like, how are you so committed to like pristine management of time and yet you waste time all the time? But
I think that some people, sometimes myself included, even though I'm kind of fighting with this, that's like downtime. Like I think that some people scroll as like a form of relaxation. It's like empty space, blackout time, nothing time. And I've just gotten to the point where, I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm like, how rich do I have to be to delete all social media and never pick up a cell phone again? Unless it's like one of those old Nokia phones with only the buttons on it. Like, throw it away. I don't want to see it. I literally got into a thing the other day. So you never text me good morning. I'm like, I don't look at my phone anymore in the morning because I hate that. I don't want to be on it. I don't want to be scrolling anymore. Like, but I do think that it can serve as like a form of relaxation. Sometimes people like look at social media and kind of zone out. And to me, that zoning out doesn't feel good anymore. I need to be solving a crime on a true crime series now. That's how I like to zone out.
Yeah, I think that you're right. My however is that we want to be conscious, right? So it's like, it's almost like you go out, you have a couple drinks and you're like, okay, good. Like I had a couple drinks, that was relaxing for me. Like I'm good. Versus like you continue and then you black out and then you're like really sick the next day or.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's everything in moderation.
Sure, but also like I'm talking about unconscious behavior, so unconscious scrolling.
Oh, like
so
often he knows that he's scrolling. He is just kind of like
No, he doesn't know. It's an anxiety response for him. We've talked about it, and like you're saying for yourself that you noticed that you woke up and you just drank coffee and scrolled. Well, that's fine. However, if you're like, I really want to start getting back into a journaling practice, the scrolling would probably be the thing to remove and then to input the thing, right? Or if you're like, well, I know this isn't you, but like, I never have time for breakfast in the morning. It's like, well, put your coffee cup down, make the freaking smoothie, and then, you know, do so, right? So it just goes back to the whole theme of like when we say we don't have time, we don't have money. I mean, you know, you look at people all the time who say they don't have money and then they're spending like insane amounts of money on stuff that's like, to you, you're like, I would never spend money on that ever, ever.
Right. But I feel like I'm a broken record, Kay, but it like all comes back to value. Like, is how you're spending your money adding value to your life? Is right. How you're spending your time adding value to your life? I'm a huge believer in like self-care and rest. Like, not a week goes by where I'm like, when is my next massage or when is my next facial? Like, ooh, I get to go to bed early tonight. Like, can I fit in a nap today? Like, am I going to go for a walk, a run, or yoga? Like, that is high priority for me. However, it adds a lot of value to my life because it really makes me like feel good and feel calm.
You have very high output, so you need that refill.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right. I do. I'm like a speeding train in the night. But like, I think you have to ask yourself that. Like, it's obvious, I think, with time and money, but I also think it's energy. It's just like I was saying, like, is what I'm putting my energy into, and I'm not talking about who I'm dating now. Like, he's great. But like, there have been times where I'm like, I'm putting so much energy into this thing that's literally adding no value to my life. Whoa. Why are we doing that? I think that we have to look at it. And I think everything that we're investing a lot in should bring value to our life. And not even necessarily just financially, but something. And if you right. feel unfulfilled or you feel lost or you feel stuck, it's probably because something big in your life is not adding enough value to make it worth it to you.
Yeah. Well, that's why my like ask of the people listening to this podcast is that you become conscious. Mm-hmm. You know, the topic of this conversation is money rich versus time rich. We've talked about a lot of different resources and how to become wealthy and resourceful through money, energy, love, time, space, you know, that whole model. But it's really step number one is about becoming conscious, becoming awake, and becoming aware of where we are spending, where we are giving, where we are receiving, where we have blocks up, and then we can start to work with it. But mm-hmm. I would say that the whole point of this conversation, the whole point of this exercise is consciousness and is awareness. Mm-hmm. And when you have more information, you can start to make better decisions, and you can start making decisions, period, right? At least now, Liv, when you get up and you get your coffee and you scroll, you know it's happening and you're making a decision to do that, right? Yeah. Like, or you're saying, you know what, I don't want to do this today. Like, I actually don't think this is good. It's just an automatic response. And, you know, you're choosing another way of being. You know, we talk sometimes about this, but both in business and personal, like, we live in this like membership subscription world, and it's so easy to just like get on a subscription for something and not think about it and just yeah. be like, you know, but I've noticed that sometimes like having a subscription stresses me out more than alleviates stress, because I feel like I have to use it. And it doesn't matter if I end up saving $20 a month, it's like not worth the stress or the needing to do it. Right. And so again, like canceling a subscription is like the equivalent of becoming conscious and saying, I'm not just going to have this be an automatic behavior. It doesn't make sense for me. Mm-hmm. Here's this other way I'm going to do it.
The whole thing around too, like the automatic behavior, I'm such a big fan. And you mentioned contexts before. So contexts are kind of like stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves or our relationships or our lives. And I'm like just very obsessed with breaking up with contexts that no longer serve us, right? Like we over-identify with these shitty things that we think about ourselves so much, and like forget that we are at choice and we are at yeah. cause. And it's like, I hate when people are like, oh, that's just the way that I am. Or like, I'll never, you know, be a morning person, or I'll never be able to work out from home, or I just can't, like, I just don't see myself posting on social media. I don't, you know, and I'm like, well, that's like kind of a rule or an automatic behavior or thought that you have about yourself that is as real as you make it.
Right.
You know, and that's another thing. Like, I actually canceled my gym membership recently because it's just a little bit more out of the way now that both the kids are in a different school and I wasn't really making it there, and I'm like constantly injured because I like I'm old and shit now. And like, and I remember I said to my friend, I was like, I don't know, I just like can't work out at home though. Like, I just won't actually do it. And then I was like, dude, fuck you, Olivia. Like, yeah, you will. Like, that's a thing. Like, that I used to really associate with, but it like doesn't help anymore. So it's like, if you're sitting there like, I just don't, I'm never going to have money, like, or I don't ever have enough time, or I'm always tired. It's like, start just like speaking it differently. And I know that like, I'm not trying to oversimplify issues that we have. I'm really not, but like, whether you're in therapy or you need more help on this or whatever, like we've all been, or at least I speak for Katie and I, we've all done that. But like, you can at least try it on saying like, you know what, I actually have a lot more time than I think that I thought that I did. Or, oh, look at me reworking my bank account. I actually have $200 extra a month that I've been blowing only on the delivery fee for Uber Eats. So if I actually just left my house to pick up the food, I would have saved $200, right?
Yeah.
You have to be willing to break up with the stories that you tell yourself about yourself, or yeah. none of this is going to work.
I none agree.
And it's like, you just wasted your time listening to the first 35 minutes of this podcast.
It's sort of like, do you love your life or do you love the story more? Because the story, like, do you love the story about your life, right? And I think this is like a whole nother episode that I'd love to record with you. I think that so many of us get really bought into our circumstances and our trauma and our drama. And I have certainly been there. I think you used a great word, Liv, which is over-identify. And all of these things are part of who we are. They're part of our lived experiences. They're part of our identity. They're part of our makeup. You know, I mean, I'm one of those people that's quote unquote, not a morning person. And actually I had that validated through 23andMe, which told me that like my best wake up time is like 8:07 AM or something like very specific. And the reality is I don't feel great throughout the day if I wake up at 6 a.m. or whatever. But that doesn't mean that if I have a goal or a new way, you know, something else in my life, or when I have kids, when they wake up early, that I'm not going to be able to get up with them. Like the one thing that's constant in life is change, and we're always evolving. But to your point, what holds us back is overly identifying. Being more committed to the story of how things are than how things actually are or how we want them to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like if you stopped over-identifying with I'm not a morning person and started identifying with like I'm great at 2 p.m. or like, you know, it can be a simple reframe, but we get these negative perceptions of ourselves and we fucking run with them for years and years and years. And if you feel like you're, you know, I feel like a lot of pressure getting older and like almost being 40. Not that that's old, but I feel this pressure that like life is so precious and I have to maximize it. And I don't mean run on full steam, like all gas, no brakes forever. That is not what I mean. But I feel this like pressure to shift things that I'm like, oh my God, I've been thinking like this since I was 14.
Yeah.
And it is not getting me anywhere. Yeah. And it's like, well, how about we stop over-identifying with the shitty parts about ourselves that are actually just blocking us from getting anywhere and start over-identifying with all of the great things that we do. Start saying, like when I was talking about transferable skills, I think that was a different episode, but it's like, tell me about all the times that you, you know, did follow through with your goals, that you were able to solve a problem that no one else could solve, that you were able to heal a relationship that other people couldn't have healed, that you were able to move past a trauma, that you were able to break free from some drama, that you were able to create a new, you know, pattern in your family. Why don't we start over-identifying with that and associating ourselves to the more powerful parts of ourselves instead of relying on our excuses or our reasons why we can't move forward. Like it's so boring. It's so boring. Like that's just the way I am. Like end rant.
I hear you, girl. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. Liv, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I mean, maybe we can post the link to, you know what, we'll add a picture of the melts exercise to Instagram. So come follow us on Instagram at Inner Glow Circle. We'll give you an example of the melts exercise and you can audit your resources, baby, and figure out how rich you really are.
How rich you really are, because it's there. You just have to look for the abundance and then start to rework things to create the abundance in the areas where you don't feel it right now.
I love that. Remember when your friend Sarah... Sorry, I started talking. What? Remember when your friend Sarah used to write down every time she like got something for free or she got a discount and she was like, look at all this money. Like that just reminded me of that. Like seeing all, like if you, what you focus on grows, right? So if you're willing to look for it, you will find the answer. And now you can actually say bye. I'm done interrupting.
Love you guys. Love you.
Bye. Let's face it. The world needs you and your clients are waiting.
This is the year you make it happen and become a six-figure certified coach doing exactly what you were called to do.
If you loved this episode, give us a 5-star review and share it with someone else who's ready to make moves and answer their calling.
We can't wait to see you next week and help you make your first or your next 6 figures as a certified coach.